In your bulletin, please pull out your sermon outline, and we are going to continue in our series of Salt and Light, and we have reached part four, and we're going to talk today about salt as praise. You might think I should have done this closer to Thanksgiving, and it probably wouldn't have been a bad idea, but look at it this way. I'm giving you 4 weeks to, like, practice and get really good so that when Thanksgiving comes, you'll be thankful. Because part of being a salty Christian, part of being the light of the world, is to be a person who has an attitude of thanksgiving and thankfulness and praise towards God. Now, I was thinking about this week because my computer broke down this week. Well, it didn't break down exactly. It just weirded out, and it just, you couldn't do anything with it because it was just running like at top speed all the time. So I did what I could, and I gave it to Ken, and he had to, like, wipe the hard drive, put Windows 7 on it. All this stuff's going on. So I was without my computer for most of the week, which is a weird feeling when you're used to emailing and all that kind of stuff all the time. And I was thinking about this, and I thought, you know, I'm just having a hard time being very thankful this week. So I sat down Friday, and I wrote down the top 10 things that I'd praise God for if they happen. If they happen. Hold on, got to turn the clicker on. Ah, see, there it works. All right. So, and this first one, some of you are not going to like, but these are mine, okay? You write your own list if you don't like mine, all right? All right. Number 10, a season-long pro baseball strike leading to the end of the sport. Baseball, man, it just puts me to sleep. I just watch grass grow. It's a lot more interesting. Okay. Number 9, a prolonged writer strike in Hollywood. Yeah. Yeah, there, see, I thought some of you'd like that. Here's one, number 8, Botox banned in the U.S. I'm getting really tired of watching these women on television, a lot of, you know, the middle-aged and older actresses who, when they smile, their forehead doesn't move. It never moves. You could take a chisel and hit it, and it wouldn't move. It's like, it's just creepy to me. It's creepy, creepy. Okay, number 7. New law requires every adult citizen in the United States to read at least one history book a year, and celebrity bios don't count. I'm tired of these 23-year-olds writing their life story. You don't have a life story when you're 23. I'm sorry. And, you know, unless you've been in war or something, forget about it. Okay, I don't know if you're going to get this one or not, but the Illuminati, the aliens, and all the other conspiracies would go public so that the conspiracy people would shut up, and they could take all that junk off the History Channel. It drives me crazy. To have these, it's the History Channel. History is stuff that really happened, and then they spend hours talking about stuff that hasn't happened. I'm like, am I missing something here? I don't know. Okay, here's another one some of you aren't going to like. Number 5, all those farms and other stuff disappearing off of Facebook forever. So, I keep getting all this stuff, people losing their cows. I'm thinking, these people have lost their minds a long time before they lost their cows. I don't know what's going on. Number 4, this is very personal, Windows 7 living up to the hype. I'll let you know about that one. Number 3, Osama bin Laden captured dead or alive. I don't really care. I'd be very happy if he was. Here we go. Number 2, very personal one here, me losing weight. That would be great. And the number 1 thing I'd praise God for, if it really happened, Congress going home and staying there. Yeah. All right. I knew you'd like that one. I saved the best for last. Yeah. All right. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we're just so thankful and grateful to you that you brought us here today. Now, Lord, speak to us. May your Spirit move in our midst, touch each mind and each heart, plant your word deeply within us, and change us today. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you know, we're in the middle of a recession and things aren't going bad and a lot of people are not happy with what's going on in Washington, and you've got all this stuff going on overseas in Iraq and Afghanistan, and Iran's developing a nuclear weapon and blah, 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 all this stuff. You might think this is not a good time to be thankful because there's just a lot of bad stuff going on. So why should I praise God? That's the question I'm asking to start with. Why should I? Well, I'm going to give you some reasons this morning that I believe will help you on a practical level actually do this. Because, you know, I think most people who are Christians would admit that you're supposed to praise God. That's really not a problem. The problem is actually doing it, you know. So let's talk about why should I do this and how can I get motivated to do it? Well, the first reason I want to give you to praise God is because I'm commanded to do it. That's why. Because I'm commanded to. And here's just one verse. I could have chosen many, many verses, but I just chose one from 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, I was listening to the music today. I told the worship team, and they did such a great job this morning, didn't they? Yeah, let's thank Tim and all the guys that are up there. Fantastic job, and you know, it was kind of a last-minute throw-together thing because Pastor Brian's not here and all that. And I said, well, I'm going to be preaching on praising God. So, and they picked some great songs. And in fact, I was thinking, listening to the message, back when I used to do Christian radio, I volunteered and did Christian radio for a little over 10 years. One of my things was that you let the song carry the message. You know, back in the old days, the Christian DJs would play a song, and then they'd take like 5 minutes explaining the song to you, or do whatever. It was like, no, just let the song carry the message. And I thought, you know, maybe I should just get up and say, that was great music, I'm sure y'all heard it, so let's pray and leave. But I decided I'd talk to you a little bit anyway, but this is exactly what some of those songs are talking about. God has commanded us to be people who are thankful. And notice in this verse, he starts off with, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Do you notice that? Paul is talking about things that should be markers of our lifestyle. When people look at Christians, these are things they ought to see occurring in our life on a regular basis. This should be the normal Christian life. Christians should be joyful. That doesn't mean happy. Doesn't mean you're walking around with a big smile on your face all the time. You can be joyful and be in tears and be grieving and be mourning, but you can still have joy in your heart. Pray continually. Prayer should be like breathing in the Christian life. It's just something that you do. And he says, first, to give thanks in all circumstances. So no matter what's happening to me, I am commanded to always be giving thanks to God. And of course, people say, well, yeah, but you don't know the situation I'm in. It's really bad. Well, the situation may be bad, but God is good, and I can always give him thanks for that, if nothing else. So God has commanded us to give thanks and to be thankful people. And that's what we want to do, and that's what it's all about. I'm commanded to do this, and I know that I'm commanded to do it. Now, sometimes this irritates me, because I don't know about you, but when I'm in a bad mood, or if I'm just kind of cranky, maybe you got up on the wrong side of the bed and hit the wall, you know, whatever, I don't know. And then someone tells you to do something that you know you're supposed to do. Do you ever get a little cranky about that? A little irritated about that? You just kind of, don't tell me, I already know. Well, sometimes that's how we get with God. It's like, God, I know. Just, you know, just back off, would you please? But God doesn't just command this. He does command it, and it's clearly a command. But number two on your outline is it's also commended to me. Now, you might be wondering what the difference is. And I've got two passages here I want us to look at. First is Philippians 4, 9 through 10. Now, in Philippians, you know, Paul talks a great deal about being thankful. And look what he says here. He says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. By commended, I mean that we are set an example about this. The writers of the Bible, Paul the Apostle and Jesus and other people, didn't just say you should be thankful. They themselves were thankful people. And it flowed through their lives, and it showed to everyone. And so Paul then could actually say this. Now, I remember when I first found this verse, and there's a couple others like it in the New Testament, I was like, it just took my breath away. Because I thought, wow, this guy is either really close to God, or he has an ego as big as all outdoors, because that's an amazing statement. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul says, look, if you do what I told you to do, and if you sort of copy or emulate or follow the things you've seen me do, God's going to be with you. Could you say that? Maybe about some things in your life, could you say it about it? Everything, anything? That's quite a statement. That's a breathtaking statement. And yet, that's exactly what we need to see. Because we don't need to be just told what to do. We need to see how to do it. And you need to see that in the lives of the people around you. That's what discipleship, one of the parts of discipleship, is all about. It's not just learning information. A lot of people, when you say discipleship, they think learning. I learned the Bible, I learned the book, blah, blah, blah. Well, of course, that's part of it. But you also need to see it lived out in the lives of the people around you so that you can then, you know, in the beginning, practice and learn and sort of do what they're doing, and then gradually you cease doing that and you become more of a follower of Jesus. But you need to see it in the beginning in the lives of the people around you. That's why small groups are so important, because in a small group, you live life together. You see what's going on in everybody's lives as you let down your barriers, and you can be honest and open. And that's where you begin to do this. Paul says, look, guys, if you've heard me say this, if you've read it in one of my letters, or if you've just seen it in the way that I live, you need to be doing it. Because if you do, God's going to be with you. And then beyond that, he says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. So Paul says, do the stuff that I've been telling you to do. Do the stuff that you've seen me do. And then he turns right around in the next breath and says, man, I'm praising God for you guys. So see, he shows it. He doesn't just say, do it. He shows it. So Paul is in essence saying, you don't just have to do what I tell you to do. I want you to do what you see me doing too. Paul was not a hypocrite. He lived out his faith. Not perfectly, but he lived it out. And that's what we're called to do and to be. To be examples to the world around us, and as we gather together, to be examples to one another. Take a look at this verse, these two verses, Ephesians 1, 15 and 16. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Paul tells the Ephesians, from the minute I heard the first reports about you guys, when I heard about your faith and everything, I was so excited that I just started praising God for you, and I haven't stopped since. See, again, he's giving us an example. He's giving us an example of what it really means. So we can look at Paul, and we can say, well, okay, if Paul can do it, I can do it. I mean, after all, I've got the same Savior that Paul had. I've got the same Holy Spirit that Paul had. And I've got the Bible, a whole bunch of which Paul wrote. So I'm in pretty good shape. I can do that. And we can. We can become people whose lives are marked not by griping and groaning and moaning, but by being thankful. That's one of the marks of the Christian, is a person who's thankful to God no matter what the circumstances are. No matter what they are. That's pretty difficult to do. And every single one of us fails at that a lot. But that's the goal that God has set for it. It's a high goal, right? It's something that's going to be very difficult to reach. But God says, yeah, that's the goal I want you to shoot for, because I'm not going to settle for anything less in your life. And so it's commanded to us, but it's also commended to us. We're given an example of it. We can see that this is how these people really lived. And if they can do it, I can do it. Number three. There's a third reason that I think about when I'm struggling with praising God, and that is that praising God is my recognition of reality. It's my recognition of reality. Now, this one is kind of funny to some people because, and I listened this week on the radio to a debate between an atheist and a pastor, a scholar, and they were talking about, you know, back and forth about the existence of God and whatever, and people who don't believe in God or aren't sure about God or whatever, one of the things that they tend to say is they tend to view themselves as the people that are really in touch with reality, while all of you people that have faith over here, well, you people are just, you're denying reality, you're just closing your eyes, you're believing what you want to believe, you're like a little child, you know, that's just believing in Santa Claus or whatever, and you just did it. But the truth is exactly the opposite. If God exists and there's plenty of evidence to support that he does, then believing in him and following him and obeying him and thanking him is simply a recognition of the reality of the universe. And for the Christian, it becomes even more of a reality. Take a look at what Paul says here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, Ephesians 1:3. Let that one sink in. If you remember not this past summer, but the one before, we talked about Ephesians. I preached through the book, and we talked about how foundational that verse is, that God has already set aside for you every blessing in Christ that you could ever possibly need. They've got your name on it. You know those boxes we've got out in the foyer for kids? Who knows where they're going? Well, they don't have any names on them. They've got like boy, 5 through 7 years old, or girl, you know, 9 and 10 or whatever. Nobody knows where those boxes are going. Well, God has a big box up in heaven. It's not a shoebox. I know it's probably a warehouse. And it's got your name on it. And everything in there is yours in Christ. Now, if that's true, remember, we say we believe the Bible. You believe that? If that's true, how do you not praise God? How do you not stop and thank God if that's really true? If that's the reality of my life, that as a believer, God has already blessed me with all the spiritual blessings that exist, and they're up in heaven, and they're waiting for me, and all that's done through Jesus Christ, how do I not thank Him and praise Him for that? How do I mean, that verse ought to totally change the way a lot of us think, because a lot of us are still in that, oh, I got to work real hard and scrape and claw and work my way up, and then maybe God will see that I'm worthy and He'll give me something or He'll help me out here. No, that is the completely wrong attitude. You're saved by grace, you go to God by grace, and all of these blessings are yours by grace. Now, how can you not praise God if that's true? How do you just be a big grumpy person if that's really true? I mean, that's crazy. If I want to recognize the real world I live in, I have to stop and realize I am blessed. Whether I can see it or not, whether I feel like it or not, whether anybody else thinks so or not. If I'm a Christian, if I'm following Jesus, I'm blessed. And that ought to, and in fact, I don't see how it can help but push me towards praising God if I really believe this. The question is, do I really believe it? Really, down deep in my heart. When push comes to shove, do you really believe that or not? I think a lot of us don't really believe it. We're trying to believe it. We'd like to believe it. But the problem is we keep looking around in our life and we don't see the evidence that we think ought to be in my life if this is really true, so I have trouble believing that. But I want you to notice the verse says that you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He didn't say they were all here now. He said they're up there, they're marked for you, they're waiting for you. They're yours, but you're not going to see them all now. So, that should make me want to praise God. Number four, and I alluded to this earlier, I ought to praise God because it's a good witness. It's a good witness. Look what Jesus said in Matthew. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Jesus said that if we live a life of following Christ, if we do good things, if we are salt and if we're light, then people are going to look at us and it's going to cause them to praise God because of what God is doing through in us and through us. It's a good witness. If I'm not thankful, then I'm becoming a bad witness. And I had a real struggle with that this week. Thursday afternoon, I was leaving Phoenix. I watched my mom on Thursdays, and I was leaving Phoenix. And what I do is, you know, my mom lives just off Dunlap Avenue. So I go to the, you know, Interstate 17, and I take it up to Carefree Highway and hop on that and go across and then, you know, turn right and go to Wickenburg and bam, on to Kingman. Well, you know, the freeway's the freeway, so it was its usual happy little self. But then you get off on the Carefree Highway and, you know, you turn left and then, you know, some days it's pretty good and some days it's pretty bad. Well, this Thursday, it was bad. And in particular, it was bad because of the person in front of me. I knew I was in trouble when I saw the license plate. Because I spent over 20 years living on the river down in Parker, and every winter we have snowbirds, lots and lots of snowbirds. And the snowbirds are, there's a love-hate relationship on the river with snowbirds. People love them because they bring a whole lot of money with them. And the economy on the river would just collapse if not for snowbirds presently. But on the other hand, they drive really big vehicles really slowly. Most of them. A few of them drive them really quickly, which is even worse. And so, you know, you have all these horror stories and you have all this stuff and, you know, you have this tension that exists there. Well, this guy had one of those plates. I thought, oh no. And then I could see him in his side view mirror, and I thought, oh no. And I couldn't get around him from the interstate all the way over to 93. I was stuck behind this guy. And I was so frustrated because he speed up, slow down, speed up, slow down. Sometimes he'd slow way down. I was getting ready to pass him, and then, you know, there was traffic, and then he'd speed up. And at one point, I actually said this. I was so mad. I said, I'm going to pass you if it's the last thing I ever do. I said that out loud because I'm alone in my car. It's a truck, so, you know, what? Well, now that, and as soon as the words came out of my mouth, I just thought, well, that's a really stupid thing to say. Yeah, let's pass him and die, but at least I passed you. Right? So then we get there, and we turn, and we're going up to Jacobburg. Now it's two-lane highway on either side, divided highway. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to get him. Well, he's gone, man. He's like in warp speed. Pew, he's way. So I'm like, what? So I'm going along, and I'm passing people, and finally I caught up to him. And he's going a little slower than me, so I passed him, and it was right before that narrows down, because they're doing a whole lot of construction in Wickenburg, and they narrow down to one lane, and they go really slow. And I thought, if I get stuck behind this guy in this construction, I won't get home until Saturday. I've got to, you know. So he pulled up. He was on the right-hand lane over here, and the right lane ends, and he was going to get in, and I just pulled up even really close behind the guy in front of me. So he couldn't get in. He had to get behind me. You think, well, that's terrible, Louis. Yes, it's terrible. I'm confessing my sin to you today. Was I thankful? I was really thankful he had to get behind me. But it was not the right kind of thankfulness, you see. It was a bad thankfulness. See, you can be thankful to God, and then you can be thankful that your little scheme worked. And that's not the kind of thankfulness God wants. That's what I had at the moment. I got to ponder that all the rest of the way home. Nice 2-hour drive there, thinking about what an idiot I am sometimes. I wasn't a very good witness. I was hoping he didn't notice the Kingman Christian Church sticker on the driver's side window of my truck there. Bad pastor. Yeah, I know. Okay, so it's a good witness when you're thankful. It's not a very good witness when you're not. Take a look at this. Acts 2, 46, 47. This is how the early church, it's just the regular, normal people in the early church. Now we're not talking to apostles, guys that went to heaven and saw God and all this kind of stuff. These are just the normal folks. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. And what was the results of all this? Enjoying the favor of the people. And the Lord added to the number daily those who were being saved. Part of the reason that the early church was so dynamic in its evangelism was that people looked at their lives and they saw that what they said and what they did were pretty close together. Not perfect, because nobody's perfect, but you know. And when they saw that, they said, wow, there's got to be something to this. And they listened to the gospel and they responded to the gospel. So these people weren't just preaching the gospel with their words. They were living it out in their lives, and they were being thankful to God. See, the Bible does not tell you anywhere to have a positive attitude, really. There's a couple places where in Philippians it says, think about good things. But there's a difference between what the culture says today, which is you should have a positive mental attitude, and what the Bible teaches in thanking God. When I'm thanking God, my attitude will be positive, sure, but I'm actually giving thanks to a personal God for what he does in my life, and more than that, who he is. Because if my life stinks at the moment, I can still thank God for his love and his grace and his power and all of the attributes of God that he has. And my salvation and for Jesus dying on the cross and coming back from the dead and all that. I can always thank God for all that. That's what the Bible, that is not simply a positive attitude. That is a connection to the Almighty God and developing and deepening my relationship with him. That's giving thanks, and that's a good witness. And here's the verse I mentioned just a minute ago. Fifth reason I ought to be thankful is because it's good for me. When you begin to really become a thankful person and make thanksgiving to God a regular part of your life, then Philippians 4:8 really kicks in. Paul says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, notice the praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, again, this verse, which is about as close as I think you can come in the New Testament to positive thinking, isn't really talking about just being positive with no content in it. Because the first thing Paul says is, whatever is true. My first priority for focusing my thoughts on things is it true or not? And if it's false, even though it may be nice, I can't have that attitude about it. So truth is the first arbiter of what I should be filling my head with. And then he says, whatever is noble. Wow. Well, that eliminates 95% of the stuff I think about most of the time. I mean, there's not a whole lot of nobility in our culture today. Whatever is right, whatever is pure. Do you notice all of these things? All of the things that he's mentioning so far, they're all moral characteristics. And then he says, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. The mind of the Christian is to be wrapped up in truth. And truth can be really hard sometimes, but it's noble, and it's right, and it's pure, and in the end, it's lovely. That's hard to say about some things in the Christian faith. Don't talk about hell. Is hell lovely? No, hell itself, Jesus made very clear, is a horrible place. Do whatever it takes to avoid it. But the beauty there is that God has provided us a way of escape, and that God doesn't want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. It's good for me to thank God because it gets me back in touch with Him, and it lifts me up above my daily circumstances. You know, everybody has bad days and bad weeks and bad months. Some of you are in the middle of a bad year. Well, you know, you got to get up above that occasionally and see what God is doing and remember who He is. And when I give thanks to God, it pulls me out of my circumstances and out of my emotions and out of my subjectivity and out of my focus on me, and it puts my focus back on God. See? The Bible doesn't want me to just be positive about me. Oh, I'm so wonderful. Oh, I'm so beautiful. Oh, I just love myself. That's what the world says to do. Forget that. God says, you praise God. Look to Jesus. Praise Him. What does that do? That immediately takes me out of myself, and it connects me back with God. And as I do that, when I look back at myself again, because I will, it helps me put all of my problems into their proper perspective. And my problems are so tiny that you can't even see them, really, compared to God. I mean, they're big to me because they're my problems, but compared to God, yeah, it's no problem for God. It's good for me to have that attitude. It's good for me to have that perspective. It's good for me to fill my mind with the truth about God and His nobility and whatever's right and pure and lovely and admirable. Those are the things I should be thinking about, and praising God will help me do that. If I don't praise God, then I'm going to be, you know, like I was Thursday, driving my truck like an idiot. That's the choice. And I remember thinking, driving that truck too, I thought, you know, you're going to have to talk about this Sunday in your sermon. Because you're just being like, just a great sermon illustration here, you big dummy. And so, I wasn't very happy about it. But, you know what it did? It made me start thinking about God. And I spent a lot of time doing that. Now, let me give you the last final reason I'm going to give you today. We could go on, but here's a final one. And this one should really motivate you, even more than this one. The fact that it's good for me is a motivator. But the fact that it pleases God ought to really motivate me. Look at this, Hebrews 13, 15 and 16. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Now, I want you to take a close look at that. Those of you that just put your outline away, take it back out. I heard you. Notice that the writer of Hebrews says, let us continually offer to God. Notice the continually. Again, this brings us back to the point. Praise and giving thanks to God should be a regular, normal, every day, every moment part of my life. This should not be something that we do like it, you know, at 10 o'clock in the morning and 2 in the afternoon and 6 at night or something. Or when I pray at meals, I'll thank God. Well, that's good, and I hope you do, but this should just be kind of an ongoing dialogue we're having with God. He says, continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Isn't that interesting? We sing that song, we bring the sacrifice of praise, and everybody feels good when they're singing it. But that, you know what, if I'm all happy and bringing, I'm not bringing, that's no sacrifice. If everything's going great in my life, where's the sacrifice? Big whooping deal. You can thank God when you're happy. Well, whoopee-doo. No, that's praise and that's good. It's not sacrifice. But if things are not going good, and if you are really in pain, and things are very, very difficult, and you stop and thank God instead of complaining and, you know, whining and moaning, that's a sacrifice. And God loves those sacrifices. That's why you see so many people in the Bible do things like that, because that's a real sacrifice of praise. Now, we talk a lot about sacrifice. We don't do that much of it. You want to sacrifice? The next time you are in a tough situation, or maybe it's someone that you love is in a very, very difficult situation, and your heart is broken and aching, and you don't understand, offer a sacrifice of praise. The fruit of lips that confess his name. And notice what he does here. I want you to notice this. This is really important. That "and" is important. Circle it. Do not forget to do good and to share with others. You see, praise is linked to performance. If I'm praising God, it ought to translate into doing good in my life. And now we're right back to salt and light again. Offering praise to God is part of being the salt of the earth and the light of the world, because offering praise to God energizes me and gives me the proper perspective on life and the proper witness to the world so that I can go out there and do good things in a way that's going to have good results, as Jesus said, that will cause people to be drawn to God. That's why being a person who's focused on thanking God in all circumstances and on all occasions is so important. That's what God wants us to do. I think this is easy to say, it's not so easy to do, and I think, like all things, this is a spiritual discipline. You know, you've heard that expression before, spiritual discipline. The reason it's called discipline is because it's hard, and it will take time to learn how to do this. You're not just going to leave here and all of a sudden be praising God all the time just because you heard one sermon on it. Nope, it's not going to happen. Hopefully you'll leave here determined to praise God more, and over the next 6 months or a year or however many years it takes, gradually you will praise God more and more and more and more and more. And you'll make that sacrifice of praise when the time is right. I'd like you to stand with me, please. We're going to say a word of prayer in closing. And I just want to encourage you, whatever, if any point of this message has touched your life, then just speak to God about it as we pray. Father, we just thank you. We give praise to you, God, for who you are, for you never change. And even, Lord, in our lives and times where we don't see much to give thanks for, we know you're there, that you love us, that you're with us, and that you don't change. Oh, Father, help us in those moments, which for some people here this morning might be this moment, to offer to you a sacrifice of praise. Father, help us to connect to you, to become more thankful people, that we then could touch and change our world to really become salt and light, so that the world will know that Jesus lives and loves them and offers them salvation. We ask this in his name. Amen.